Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi everyone, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling, a global accessible travel podcast brought to you by Accessible South Africa. It's great to have you with us. I'm your host, Lois Strachan. Today on the podcast, we're chatting to Hilary Lane, who's traveled extensively across Africa and the rest of the world, and she chats to us about some of her experiences as a traveler with cerebral palsy. Then, on the Travel Tech Corner, we're going to be sharing a resource that is chock full of valuable information for travelers with mobility impairments. Before we get to the Travel Tech Corner, let's meet and chat to Hilary Lane. Today on the Different Way of Traveling podcast, we're interviewing a lady who's been a friend of mine for a number of years. And in fact, we've even traveled together 2 years ago when we traveled to the AfriNeed conference, which took place in Ghana in West Africa. I've been trying to get Hilary Lane on the podcast for a number of months, but she always seems to be traveling. Hilary, welcome to the podcast. It's great to finally have a chance to interview you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's awesome. Yeah.
So, Hilary, maybe you can start by just introducing yourself to our listeners and telling us a little bit of your story.
I have cerebral palsy, which is pretty mild. It affects my speech a bit, my balance a little bit, and my hand control. So I am fully independent and pretty much a go-getter. I've never let anything stop me. And as far as my travels go, yes, I love traveling. And in the last 2 months, I've been to the UK, the USA, and Denmark.
And that's just the last 2 months. So more generally, can you tell us a little bit about the travels that you've done, kind of where you have been? And yeah, I think that's a good, great starting point.
Yes, well, I suppose my whole life I've travelled, and all of it has been flying, and I enjoy driving, and my husband and I drive a lot through South Africa, but that's another story. So, yes, I've been to the UK often. I lived there for 12 years, had my children, brought my husband and children back to live in South Africa. Children are grown up and they both live in London now. My daughter married a man from New Zealand, so I've been to New Zealand twice, which was interesting because I always thought that if you went to New Zealand, you'd fall off the end of the world. But that's an interesting journey. You either go via Singapore or one of those countries, that's a long, long flight. I've been to the States twice, once to New York, and this last visit I went to Seattle. I've also flown to different places in Europe. I've been to Malta, lots in Italy, lots of places. And then as Lewis said at the beginning, we went to Ghana, I've been to Kenya, I've been to Malta, I've been to Malawi, I've been to Zambia. So I think I've been to a lot of places.
Truly a well-travelled lady. So when it comes to travel Do you find that there are challenges that you need to overcome as a result of your cerebral palsy?
Yes, in the sense, particularly after a long flight, having to get out of the plane and to walk in the queue and things like that. So for in the last number of years, I've drawn a line there, and I always request wheelchair assistance. So even if I'm flying just to Joburg on business, I will request a wheelchair. And one of the reasons for that is, although I can walk, as I say, if I've been sitting and then I have to walk, like for example when I go to Johannesburg, suddenly you're in a, you know, the altitude is different, and if you rush out of the plane you're certainly short of breath. So if I book online, or someone books for me, whichever way the booking is done for the flight, the request will be for a wheelchair. This is a bit embarrassing. Well, not so much embarrassing now, but they do say I'm a pensioner. I don't think of myself as a pensioner. So they say the request is put in the form of request to the airplane door, but can move within the cabin. Sometimes if I'm flying to Joburg or Durban or within South Africa, I don't even request that when I book, because I find that when I book in, because I don't need a PAU within the airport and I can walk on the plane, I find that it's very easy to just ask when I'm booked in for wheelchair assistance. And for the most part, I have been accommodated. There was one occasion when I was told I would have to pay. And I can't remember the flight. It was a new one. I don't think they're there anymore. I'm not sure. Anyway, I was told I'd have to pay 150 rand, which I completely lost the plot and said that that was ridiculous and that it was the airport company and it wasn't the airlines that had to pay for that. I don't know. Maybe the airlines do pay the airport company. I really don't know. And it's an interesting question. But in that situation, they did accede and give me a wheelchair. About 10 years ago, I was involved with a company called Cape Able with Russell Vollmer, and we did a lot of training. And in fact, I think we did Cape Town and Port Elizabeth to train the assistants. But they change so quickly, and I don't know who does the training now, but sometimes they don't know what they're doing, and they treat you like a piece of meat. Other times they're very friendly, so it's a bit of give and take. However, I must just recall the situation I had in this last flight. So when we arrived in London, it now seems that Heathrow have more people needing assistance than they have people to assist or wheelchairs. So another reason for going asking for wheelchair assistance, particularly overseas, is that you don't have to queue to get through passport control. And for me, although walking is easy, standing in the queue causes a lot of pain in my back. So it means that you get through security very quickly. However, in London, when I arrived a couple of months ago, the person assisting obviously towards his first day, and obviously he didn't know what was going on, because we were literally taken from the aeroplane in a wheelchair, dumped somewhere, told to get out of the wheelchair, and just left. And we had no idea what was happening. We were then picked up in a golf buggy, and taken somewhere else and left somewhere, and there was one person to take us all through customs, and I think there were only a few wheelchairs, and there must have been 40 people waiting to go through. So it wasn't a very good situation. Leaving Heathrow that day, a couple of hours later, I didn't know where to go, what to do, stopped someone, asked them, they looked official, and they were so helpful, they really were helpful. And so it's a bit of touch and go as to who you get who's pushing the wheelchair. Sometimes they can be friendly, other times they treat you like a piece of meat, and then it gets a bit annoying. The best experience I had in my local travels was when I left Seattle. So my friend took me to the airport. You don't get, she parks right at the door, and there are people sitting at the airline desks on the pavement with wheelchairs, and they come and get you from the car, and they take you right through everything. So basically, you don't set foot at all in the airport, nothing. Well, if you need to go to the bathroom, but other than that, they take your luggage, they book you in, they explain to you, right, you're going to sit here, we'll be back in 20 minutes, or whatever. So, and also coming back from London to South Africa, my husband wasn't very well, and I just said, look, he needs assistance as well. And they were very happy to give assistance. So, as far as the kind of travel part of my travels, you've just got to be able to state your need, and I find people are accommodating. They really are accommodating.
One of the biggest challenges I find as a visually impaired traveler is that the process that seems to change every time I go. Do you find the same thing when you travel?
Not really. It would be good to say yes, it changes and it gets better. But I think it really does depend on who you're dealing with, which airline, which airport. Everything is different. And you've got to be pretty sure about what you need and to be able to express that.
I think that's very true. The ability and the willingness to reach out and tell people what you're needing does really help, because we are all different and our needs differ. If we could change slightly the direction of the conversation, is there anything that you do in your planning of your travels or anything like that, any particular apps that you use, any technology you use, to make traveling easier for you, or any just simple processes that you put in place ahead of your travels to help make things easier for you?
Not really, because I think wherever I go, I'm going to people, or people are expecting me, and they've done the organization. I mean, going to England, I've got my family. I went to Seattle, I was collected by friends and colleagues, and going to Denmark, there also people were at the air. So I'm never in a situation where I go as a tourist, so to speak. So
most of your organization is really just in communication ahead of time to make certain that everyone has the right information and that everything's in place.
That's right. I don't need anything special. I don't need a room that is accessible because I'm not in a wheelchair. So I think when my travel, as far as my travels go, and I do travel often, well, most of the time on my own, I think I've just got used to being able to communicate. I arrived in Copenhagen and they were in a wheelchair they hadn't ordered a wheelchair for me and I had to wait 20 minutes. So that reminds me yet again that when I'm on the flight, I need to say to the steward, by the way, I am traveling, I do need a wheelchair. So I think little things like that, you've got to double check. So that I didn't have to wait 20 minutes and for them to come and collect me. But even though I waited 20 minutes, I still got out of the airport before many of the passengers.
That's so true. So you've shared a few kind of the experiences you've had when traveling. What's your favorite place that you've traveled to and some of your favorite travel stories?
I think each trip that I made, I mean, going to Malta, I was going to my son's wedding, and everything was laid on for us. You know, whether it's the actual journey, I think the trip from London to Seattle was spectacular. I had a window seat, and I flew over Greenland and all the fjords and all the glaciers and down Canada and all the forests and I must say I prefer to sit at a window seat. I like to see where I'm going. You know, when we came back from Malawi, we flew over the Rift Valley. And that was spectacular. Who was a god, I can't remember. Anyway, just to be able to look out and see. But I think a couple of years ago, my husband and I were coming back from London, and we came by Dubai. And it was at sunrise on the day of the end of Eid. And everyone was out praying, you know, and we flew over Dubai. You could see all the men outside the mosques because obviously the mosques were full. And to actually see all the men praying, that was a sight that really, you couldn't have planned that. It was spectacular. And then many years ago, I was coming back from Johannesburg, and it was the start of the Cape to Rio yacht race, and we were able to fly over Table Bay and to see all the yachts leaving, and that really was a spectacular sight.
It's amazing, some of those, the most special experiences are, they're an accident in a sense of time and place.
That's right. And I think also, sometime I was flying either to Joburg or back to Cape Town, I'm not sure. And I sat next to David Cromer, and that was quite special as well.
For those of our international listeners, David Cromer is one of our South African great entertainers and musicians.
Yeah.
Hilary, what advice would you have for a service provider in the tourism or hospitality industry about how to make their products or their services or their venues more accessible to those of us with disabilities?
You know, one of the difficult things is that not two disabilities are the same. What you need and what I need and what someone else needs in a wheelchair are completely different. But I think it's important that people do know that we have needs. And rather than deciding what our needs are, they ask us. I mean, for example, one of the things that I really have a problem with is holding a full cup of liquid. And I am confident enough to say to them when they're handing out drinks, please put it on the table, all to be able to say, whoever's sitting next to me, whether I know them or not, could you hand it to me? And, you know, people are very obliging. If you ask people nicely, they will help. But if you don't ask, they assume that assuming is dangerous because the liquid will get spilled if there's no direct advice or question. So my advice to anyone, whether you're the traveller or the service provider, is ask questions. What do you need? How can we assist you? And not assume. I mean, you know, people assume that I don't need a wheelchair. And I have to be very clear and say, I do need a wheelchair so that I don't fall, or that after a long flight and I'm sitting, I'm a lot stiffer. And need to let people know that, because people assume far too much. And I think that applies to anyone with a disability. You've got to say what you need. You've got to, and it's no whining, complaining, oh, why don't you provide it? Why do I need to talk? Until we can share what we need, society is not going to give us what we need. Or what they give us is not what we need, because they don't know what we need.
Just going back to the point there about people assuming that you don't need a wheelchair, I have the opposite experience, that people assume that because I'm blind, I do need a wheelchair. So maybe I'm getting your wheelchair.
Yes.
So Hilary, if people would like to contact you to kind of chat to you about your experiences as a traveler, to find out more about your story or to get advice from you, how can they contact you?
My email is Hilary Lane. Hilary has got two L's, HILLARYLANE at outlook.com. And I would be very happy to discuss and talk further if you would like. Thank you.
Thanks so much. So for our final question, I always tend to ask people, what advice would you have for someone with cerebral palsy who's wanting to travel but is nervous about doing so because they're concerned about what they might experience or just haven't had the experience of doing so before? What advice would you have for them about why they should travel?
I think the reason why you should travel is it really does broaden your horizon. You know, seeing things on the television or radio, they're not the same as experiencing it. Be very clear in your own mind why you're traveling, where you're going, how you're going, and so forth. Because you don't want to have an experience of traveling that is a bad experience. And I think, you know, it really does depend on your disability, whether you're going to go with someone who's going to assist you. Fantastic. Make sure they know that you're in charge.
That's such a good advice as well. And any final words on how people should prepare to travel?
There are a lot of things on the internet that you can find that people will tell you what clothes to take and so forth. I always end up taking far too many clothes.
We all do.
And then I think layers are important. And it doesn't matter how you discipline yourself. Make sure your case, when you go, is able to be filled up with the things that you buy overseas.
Some excellent words of advice. Today on A Different Way of Traveling podcast, we've been interviewing Hilary Lane. Hilary, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences as a traveler. It's been really fantastic to have you with us.
Thank you so very much for having me, and I hope that what I've shared will assist someone else.
I'm sure it will.
It was really great having the opportunity to chat to Hilary Lane about some of her travel experiences. Since I conducted that interview, Hilary has had a back operation, and from all of us here at A Different Way of Traveling, we wish her a speedy recovery so that she is soon back up on her feet and back up in the air. Now it's time for the Travel Tech Corner. This is a segment where we try to share a resource or some information about a device that can be useful to travelers with disabilities. Today I'm going to be sharing a website, a travelogue, that I found is a fascinating resource crammed full of information for travelers with mobility impairments. The website is spintheglobe.net. Sylvia Longmire, who writes the website, is a woman who travels mostly on her own using a power wheelchair. So far, she's traveled to 57 different countries and has even recently visited my hometown, Cape Town. I found the articles on Sylvia's website cover many countries' accessibility issues, and she also has a lot of general information to help travelers with disabilities as they navigate the often treacherous world of global travel. You can follow Sylvia by going to that website, spintheglobe.net, or you can follow her on Twitter at spin_theglobe. And I really think that it's a great resource for travelers, so I encourage you to take a look and learn from Sylvia's valuable experience. This is a reminder that if you'd like to contact Accessible South Africa or find out more about the work that we do, you can always find our contact details at the end of the podcast in the credits. I've also been asked to share some of the ways that you can find out a little bit more about me in my personal capacity. More information about me can be found on my website, loisstrachan.com, and you can find my Beyond Sight blog there, information about my books and my speaking. Today's travel quote combines two of my greatest loves, reading and travel. The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only one page. And those fantastic words were said by Saint Augustine, the 4th century Christian theologian and philosopher. He was born originally in the ancient country of Numidia, which is now known as Algeria. It's been great having you with us. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on our next episode.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at AccessibleSA. You can also email us at podcast@accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Strachan using Hinderberg software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lloyd Strachan. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.